and you're listening to Tantra Cafe, program for spiritual enlightenment on bbsradio.com. It is so great to be back with you today, and today I have some really interesting questions to ask you. And before I bring my guest on, so I don't know about you, but I grew up believing in love and marriage. I grew up thinking there was going to be a Prince Charming for me someday who was going to come into my life and whisk me off my feet, and we would be together forever until death do us part. And we were going to, you know, we would have children and a family, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I don't know. That dream didn't really work out for me too much. And I'm not so sure that that dream worked out for anybody else. As for myself, I really never did meet that Prince Charming. There were a lot of charming princes, but I didn't meet my Prince Charming. I never did, so I didn't marry anyone and settle down in a one-time relationship and have a family and live behind a white picket fence. And, you know, a fact is that the divorce rate in the United States, anyway, and probably in other countries, I think in Sweden it's higher, the divorce rate in the United States is well up over 50%. And in second marriages, I believe the divorce rate is 80%. And another fact is that in 1996, the cover of Time magazine referred to DINs. That's capital D, capital I, capital N, capital S. DINs. Double income, no sex marriages. And it showed on the cover, there was a picture of one person with a clicker in their hand, you know, the remote, and the other person had their laptop computer on their lap. You couldn't see which one was the woman and which one was the man, or if it was a two-man couple or a two-woman couple. Anyway, those are just some interesting facts. And we're in an age where people seem to be questioning everything because the dream of love and marriage, which was presented to us, seems to be anybody's guess. It seems to be all up in smoke, kind of. And people are experimenting with all kinds of things. So, the question for today is, what is the future of dating and relating? What's the future of finding, starting, and sustaining romantic and sexual relationships, especially for the spiritually minded? And I'm going to add one other term in here, sex positive. What's the future of sex positive dating and relating? That means being positive about sex. Dating and relating, finding and starting, and sustaining romantic and sexual relationships for the spiritually minded. And my guest is an expert on that. My guest name is Reed Mihalko, and he's an expert in this particular field. He's going to be sharing his views and personal experiences on this very topic. I met him through something called Cuddle Party, and Reed and I kind of travel in the same circles and dance around each other. Sometimes we're on the same coast, sometimes we're not. But we have been connecting and relating just about this very, very thing. So he's a world-renowned expert on this subject. Reed, are you there?
I am there. Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
I'm great. I like how you say that you and I are always dancing around each other. Because that's exactly what it feels like. We're always like ships passing in the night, or we're in the same dock, but there's a dock between us.
Right. And this is my attempt. Having you on the show is my attempt to get us together.
Yay! Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, you really are an expert on this subject, sex positive dating and relating. And then, you know, you and I will talk about our, you know, how we're going to start and sustain these things. But tell us a little bit, how did you become an expert in this? How did this happen to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to answer that question. I mean, the main way to answer that question, I guess, is by talking a little bit about Cuddle Party, which was the first workshop that I created that became really big in the media, and that kind of launched my career as far as getting media exposure as somebody who's an expert around sex and relationships. And for those of your listeners who are listening in, if you don't know what Cuddle Party is, you can go to the website, which is cuddleparty.com. And it's a communication workshop around social affection and non-sexual touch and how do you create intimacy through better communication skills. And that workshop, which I launched in 2004 along with Marcia Baczynski, who's also an amazing relationship educator and expert on interpersonal dynamics, what we got out of that workshop becoming famous in the media was talk to thousands and thousands of people about what's going on in their life around affection and touch and dating and relationships. And then previous to that, for 10 years, 15 years previous to that, I had been a bartender in New York City where, from a cultural perspective, I was given carte blanche to talk to people.
Yeah, bartenders can talk about anything to anybody, anytime.
Yeah, I mean, it is that interesting thing. Like, not that bartenders give the best sex advice, but we're definitely people with our finger on the pulse of what's going on for people. And I would say that, you know, when you want to do some research about sex and relationships and the state of romantic union in the nation, go talk to your local bartender. Go talk to your hairdresser. Because those are the two careers where we're allowed cultural permission to talk to people, and the people will just open up to us and kind of spill the beans. And I've experienced more and better relationship communication standing behind the bar than I ever witnessed with my mom and dad in their entire marriage.
Yeah,
my mom and dad were awesome at loving each other and being stubborn to leave one another, but they were of that generation kind of before self-help was in vogue, and you know, they just didn't really know how to communicate extremely well. So, you know, that's kind of the basis for me turning into the I am now, and a sex and relationship educator, and now having a website that's readaboutsex.com, and that's R-E-I-D, and kind of, you know, in the way that you've so graciously introduced me, becoming this expert on just sex, relationships, dating, intimacy. And the thing that I kind of specialize in is the overview and some of the specifics, but more like I'm a geek around sex and relationships, and I've been really curious all these years about what's going wrong out there.
How can
we increase our knowledge and our relationship savvy and our own self-awareness as who we are as human beings so that we can be more coordinated in creating the relationships that we want. And I want to thank you for having me on the show, because the idea of talking about the future of sex positive dating and relating and all that stuff is very, very interesting to me. And I think that we have a lot to talk about.
Let me just ask you,
where do you want to start?
Let me just ask you a few questions about that. Like, what, when you were doing cuddle parties and you were talking to people, you know, what did you, I mean, I'm betting that people said that they really wanted to be touched, but they were afraid to be having sex because it was AIDS, and they didn't know, there was no place in their community or in their church or their friends. If they weren't in a relationship, and maybe some people even in relationship, my guess is that they were lacking on the touch, lacking on the intimacy, lacking on the communication, and that they just didn't know how to go about doing anything like that in a kind of safe way, and you provided that.
Yeah, I mean, Cuddle Party does a really great job. It's a 3.5-hour workshop where the first hour is the more workshoppy part, where we go over communication skill sets and ice-breaking exercises so that people can start practicing how to be better communicators to create safe space for themselves, which we focus boundaries and agreements, and basically kind of handhold people through getting better at these situations. And the great outcome here is when you know how to communicate what your boundaries are, and you can say yes you know, with enthusiasm, and you can say no without feeling guilty. When you can start to do those things and implement them into your life, the world becomes a lot safer. It doesn't mean that you're never gonna, you know, get hurt, or that somebody's, you know, that somebody's always gonna follow what you say. But what it means is you get to set the tone a lot more powerfully and with a lot more confidence in your own life, and that raises your level of self-esteem while it creates safe space. So you're the one generating the feeling of safety for yourself. You're not always relying on other people and their behavior to make you feel safe.
Right.
And when you can do that, when you can create that kind of safe space, then what becomes fun is you can invite other people into your safe space, and you become that person that makes people feel safe, and then all of a sudden you're creating intimacy. And those are the things that people in our society are really lacking these days, because for so long it was, you know, we talked about good touch, bad touch, but nobody ever talked about good touch. It was, all the focus was on bad. And we grew up as adolescents with our parents telling us, you know, behave yourself, you can't control yourself. So if all touch is bad and we can't control ourselves, the world's not safe. And so we shut down.
Right.
You know, and then you add 10, 15, 20 years onto that, and you're coming home from working 40, 60 hours a week to a spouse or a roommate who's not touchy-feely at all. And then all of a sudden you're not getting any touch in your life. And then this feeling of not being able to create safety for yourself and the lack of touch and social nurturing in your life creates a completely wonky situation for people.
Right.
And most people don't know how to get themselves out of it.
Yeah, I see you as filling, you have filled a niche with that particular creation, you and Marcia. You filled a niche that was just, I mean, really an invention, a perfect creation, something to for people to really even have the word boundary. I mean, in my workshops, I always say to people, raise your hand if your parents used the word boundaries while you were growing up. And nobody raises their hand because nobody ever heard of that word. Nobody's parents ever heard of the word boundaries. They just didn't, it just wasn't a thing. It wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't anything in our lives. It wasn't, now I think that came out of the word boundaries came out of the recovery community. And then all of a sudden people started to talk about boundaries, like what they were. But, I mean, my parents never said those words in my growing up.
Yeah.
So, okay, so now we skip ahead to you've had some experience. Now, by the way, for people, you know, I want to just let everyone know that they can listen. I did an interview with Edie Moser a while back, and so there's a whole lot of stuff about Cuddle Party on TantraCafe.com where they can get the whole reference to that, and then we can skip ahead to, like, your latest stuff, you know, your latest
Sure. Now Cuddle Party is, you know, is running on its own. We're able to establish that, you know, safe, consensual, non-sexual social touch amongst adults is even possible. And so now that Cuddle Party exists and people kind of get the context, now I've been able to basically distance myself from Cuddle Party and start doing, working in other areas of sex and relationship education. And I've been doing a lot of different workshops and giving talks and speaking at conferences about more sexual touch and negotiation and boundary setting, because it's the same skill set. And the way that I view Cuddle Party and the way that I view some of the more adult NC-17 workshops that I do is the skill sets and the ways to make yourself feel safe are exactly the same skill sets. It's more like it's a continuum. There's non-sexual affection, and then there's knocking boots in the bedroom. And if you're not good at communicating what your needs and wants are, if you're not good at saying no without feeling guilty, if you're not self-aware enough to be able to check in with yourself and then communicate that to your partner, then the world, the bedroom, becomes a very scary place. And we're prone to shut down as human beings. And then that affects our relationships. And this same dynamic is existing in the dating world, because people are kind of coming at it from this weird angle of, you know, I want to say all the right things and do all the right things so that you'll get to like me. And then if I can convince you to like me enough, you'll never leave me. And I think that ties into what you were talking about in the beginning of the show, which was this, you know, this kind of fairy tale of the prince or the princess that comes into your life and sweeps you away. And I love fairy tales as much as anybody else, and I think that they are important for us to be able to access our erotic imagination and, you know, just kind of be human beings and daydream. But at the same time, the difference between, you know, a Nora Ephron movie and real life can sometimes be very drastic, and people don't always have the skill sets to be able to handle the latter.
Right, and they don't recover after that, you know, when something happens that went askew, different from their fantasy. They kind of were so locked in the fantasy and suffered from the lack of those skills, they don't even really know how to recover. So I want to talk to you about, like, okay, now what do we do? So we need to take a break for a moment, though. So we're gonna on that note, we're gonna take a break and we'll be right back. So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Hamlers, your host. We're discussing the future of sex-positive dating and relating, finding, starting, and sustaining romantic and sexual relationships for the spiritually minded. And my guest today is renowned sex and relationship educator, Reid Mihalko. And he's at readaboutsex.com. You spell it R-E-I-D, aboutsex.com. We're going to be right back. Please stay tuned.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex. Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex. And it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com. and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Okay, we're back, and thank you for staying tuned. Reid, we just left on the note of what do we do, and let's put it in the positive. I love the positivity about it. Rather than something's wrong and broken, let's fix it. What do people do? They're searching for love, affection, attention. They want to have it real, or that at least I think, and I think you think they want to have it real. So what do we do?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of different ways to approach it. I mean, this whole idea of keep it real, I think, needs to be kind of upgraded. You know, that whole, you know, bumper sticker phrase, like keeping it real. for most people means keeping things, you know, from exploding.
Right.
Like trying to keep things from getting difficult, trying to keep things from getting messy. And really, you know, what I counsel people on and coach people when I'm working one-on-one or with couples is, you know, let's recalibrate that phrase, keeping it real, to actually mean, like, saying what you're not saying to each other. And the reason that's important for relationships, and I'll apply it to dating in a second, is I really think that it's what you're not saying that's destroying your relationship. And a lot of people, a lot of really well-meaning people, come from this approach of their relationship that they shouldn't be making things worse. And, you know, I feel such and such, but, you know, I'm not going to bring it up right now because now is not a good time. And then they end up never bringing it up. And it turns into this big, hairy gorilla sitting in the closet waiting to clobber you. And really what I coach people is say the things that you're not saying and say them as quickly as you can. And you can get better at it once you get the hang of it, but it's better to say something and have it make things messy than to never say it at all, especially if you're intending and being in a relationship with somebody for more than 5 or 6 hours. And if you're going to be in a relationship with somebody for 5 years, developing this ability between the both of you to share what's actually going on for you, that's what's real. And a lot of couples don't do that. And a lot of people in the dating scene don't do that either because, you know, stuff's coming up for them, but they're not bringing it up because it's too soon in the relationship. And I
What's
think
that
you
mean?
Reframe
what does
that.
Too soon in the relationship mean? What is that?
It means like, oh, you know, we don't know each other well enough to have the conversation about safer sex or to have the conversation about, you know, what our goals and dreams are in our relationships because it's the first date. You know, for me personally, you know, my sexuality or my relationship self-expression is a little bit out of the box. I am polyamorous and I have multiple relationships. So if I'm talking to somebody that I think I might even be just a little bit interested in dating, that's the first thing I tell them. Because if they stick around when I tell them all the stuff that I'm afraid might ruin the chances of having a relationship, it's the ones that stick around that the ones I should be dating.
Yes.
And I think this, you know, this applies to everybody, whether you're spiritually minded or not. And if you want to sustain romantic relationships and sexual relationships with people, that fostering this ability to speak up and really share what's going on for you, which is an edgy, edgy thing in this American culture specifically.
Yeah.
Exercising that muscle and developing that muscle so that you're sharing those things. You know, if a relationship's not supposed to work out, it'll end faster that way. So you're not wasting your time. It's more economical, right?
Right.
But at the same time, it's the people that stick around who are actually saying, wow, you know what? I feel that way too.
Right.
I get what you're saying. Those are the people that you have a better chance for creating an amazing relationship with because the fit's going to be better. And
well,
I think that practice of saying what's scary for you is a spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
It causes a lot of growth. And when you start setting the tone that that's what you want to do, like that's where the bar is set for the relationship, that we're going to say what's scary for us. When you set the tone like that, you're role modeling for the other person that it's okay for them to do it too. If you're not speaking up,
I just got to ask you a question. Can you tell us the exact, like, could you give me the exact words that you use? Like, you meet somebody, and you meet somebody, and you're interested. What do you say?
Let's pretend, right? You and I are talking for the first time on the phone for some reason. And let's say Edie Moser from Cuddle Party said I should call you. You and I are talking. We're having an amazing conversation. And I'm like, I'm feeling a little bit. I'm feeling some connection here. And, you know, maybe something you said in the conversation is leading me to believe that you might be available for a relationship or something more. I mean, basically what I'm going to do is, you know, mocking the conversation would be like, you know, Lori, I'm feeling kind of excited and really interested in our connection right now. And I'm actually interested in exploring this more beyond a conversation. Just so you know, my particular relationship style happens to be that I'm polyamorous and I'm in a relationship with 3 people right now. So I want to tell you that ahead of time so that you know what you're getting yourself into if we were going to pursue this further. And I'd love to have more of a conversation about this if you're a yes.
Wow, that sounds fair enough. I'm making this like we really are having a conversation instead of we don't know if we're having this conversation. So I say, okay, thanks for telling me that. And That's a little scary for me. I've never participated in anything like that before, or with anyone like that before. I mean, what does that mean? Like, you all get together, you all the people that you relate to, they all meet each other and see each other, they approve of each other. Is that what you do?
For my relationships, the relationships that have worked best for me around open relationships tend to be with people who've already had open relationships in the past, so there's more of a context for
right.
what it means. And I might be willing, upon further conversation with you, to make an exception around the idea of you and I dating or seeing if there's more available. But to answer your question, the conversation around, do my lovers know each other? My way of having open relationships works best when all of my partners know about each other. It works really good if they actually like each other as friends. And so I have a tendency to date people and form relationships with people in my world with people who have a similar style of open relationship. And I'll put our little mock conversation on hold and jump back into our radio interview. That's
yeah.
another thing that I talk about and train people when I coach them is this idea of whether you're polyamorous or monogamous, the things that keep relationships connected and juicy and running well are the same things. It's just in my world, I've got three times as much work. And relationships are work, period. There's no easy way around having a relationship. So for me, this idea of coaching people for them to figure out what's your self-expression. And the analogy I use is music. You know, if you're a musician, is it classical music, rock music, or jazz that really thrills you? And I think a lot of us, given our culture, we're kind of raised in this classical conservatory of music, and we've never heard jazz before, or no one ever told us or gave us permission to go play rock and roll. And so if you're a rock and roll musician and you're playing in a symphony orchestra, it might not make you as happy as you possibly could be, and maybe you're feeling a little dissatisfied. And maybe you get a little cranky from playing Bach over and over again. And so I work with people to try to figure out, you know, what's your self-expression in relationship. And then once you start to figure it out, my self-expression happens to be open multiple relationships. Once you start to figure it out, then what I counsel people on is go date people with similar self-expression. Because it just makes for an easier fit in the relationship, and you guys will make each other more happy rather than a jazz musician and a rock musician trying to form a band and neither one of them liking the music that the other one wants to play.
Right.
And that's a really quick way of describing a very nuanced set of continua because, you know, there are very different types of monogamy out there. And, you know, maybe you grew up and you knew a family down the street whose mom and dad didn't sleep in the same bed. And your mom and dad did. And so you could never really understand the people down the road and why their mom and dad had separate bedrooms. But nowadays, it's a little bit more like, goodness gracious, you know, if my mom and dad had separate bedrooms growing up, their marriage might have been better. Who knows, right? But you have choice now in ways that culture might not have role modeled for you. And so we don't know to think outside the box, even in these little ways, to make our lives work better, because most people are really just trying to do a good job in love and in romance. And so I think a lot of the problems that people are running up against are they're pursuing a type of relationship that they were role modeled growing up or learned about from watching film and television that actually might not be true to who they are in their own self-expression.
Yeah, Reed, I agree with you. I think it's so, I think it's very astute and I think it's, you know, I think it's so true that some people are just copying a whole way of being that they learned rote. You know, they never gave it any thought. It's just like, it's just, that's what they ate for breakfast, and this is what they're eating for breakfast now. Now, exactly. My question is, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, for you and I, like, in the Tantra community, because by its very nature, Tantra is kind of already outside the box a little bit, mm-hmm. There's a lot more permission and flexibility for people to do stuff in different ways. And, you know, and that lends itself more specifically to some of the stuff that we're talking about, which is like when you take this idea of what's your self-expression, you know, in the spiritual community or the sacred sexual community, like what's your self-expression as somebody who practices Tantra, as somebody who's trying to bring spirituality into the bedroom? And when you come from that perspective, then it's like, well, you know, where do you find like-minded people to start looking at having a relationship to begin with? And, you know, obviously, you know, through your radio show and through your website and through readaboutsex.com, you know, people can start finding different resources to access their particular communities. But, you know, I think I'd love to talk with you right now about, you know, what do you think and what do I think some of the, like, do's and don'ts are around dating other people in the Tantra community?
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it's really great because, by and large, most of the people who listen to the show are part of some greater Tantra community, whether it's exactly my community or not, like one that I formed. It's certainly a larger community. It's larger than ever. There's more people looking into Tantra, wanting to know about Tantra, you know, just at large than there ever has been before, maybe in history. So, yeah, what are the do's and don'ts? I mean, first of all, I just want to say, you know, based on what you're saying, it sounds like open communication, straightforward open communication, lessons in being straight. Like, I don't mean straight like gay or straight, but being straight up with your communication, like, hey, this is who I am, really, and it's the time right now for you to find out, is really the key to sustaining relationships. I mean, that's what, that's basically what you're saying, which I totally agree with you. There's never a right time. The right time is right now, when the time is. But, yeah. But back to what we're talking about now, so do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts of dating in the Tantra community if you were to meet someone or whatever. So, you know, shoot, what do you got?
Well, I mean, the first one is works really well in Tantra, but people seem to forget it when they take it into, like, their dating. You know, this idea of in workshops, you know, slower is always better, especially in our fast-paced American society. You know, the message when I work with people around any kind of sexual practice, spiritual or not, is the sex usually becomes better if you slow things down and pay more attention. And, you know, in the translation, in the default world is, you know, don't always just jump into bed together. And in the Tantra world, the same thing's happening, where I see people in these sacred sexual community and the spiritual sexual communities looking to date and looking to start a relationship. And when they find someone that they're remotely interested in, they just dive right into the relationship, mostly because we're feeling really hungry for a relationship, or maybe we're a little deficient in our touch and intimacy needs. And so the minute we find somebody who's a yes, we just latch right onto them. And that's not just a female thing. Like, men do this too.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And going too fast allows you not, you don't have the time to figure out if you guys are actually a good fit for exploring a longer relationship. And so, like, this idea of courtship, which to me is really just slowing things down and getting to know each other, I think is one of the major things that people do wrong. They just dive. They're like, oh my God, I found somebody. They're completely, all their chakras are open and their heart is so alive and I can feel their love. And then all of a sudden they're just diving into a relationship when you know, from a spiritual perspective, yeah, this person's really awesome, you know, and they've got their whole Om Shanti Shanti shining bright. But, you know, the way that you guys actually live at home is completely not compatible, and you don't give yourselves time to figure those things out.
Right. Well, listen, this is great, Reed. This is so great. We need to stop for a moment. We're going to have to take another pause for a second. Pause for the commercial cause. But, really, slowing things down, slower pace, taking the time, putting things on pause for a moment. Fabulous. So just hang in there. Let's hang in there for a moment before we go to the next do's and don'ts of how to sustain sex positive dating and relating in today's world. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned to Tantra Cafe.
If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend, Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Welcome back to Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handlers, your host, and you just heard a piece of music called Sexual, and it actually was the Afterlife remix of the track Sexual on the Rossimello 2 CD. It's really great. I love using it at trance dances. So I hope you enjoyed that. And if you've just tuned in, my guest today is Reed Mihalko, who is an expert in the relationship and sex department. Reed has studied people. He has trained himself to listen to what people are saying and see if he could discover what it is that people need to do to keep relationships together, to keep their style, their brand of relationships together, whether it's monogamous or polyamorous, multiple partners, a partner, what exactly the tastes are and how to communicate that. So we're back. Reed, that was really great in the last segment. So do you have any other do's or don'ts?
Yeah. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the other do's and don'ts, you know, once you start slowing things down and start trying to find out what your non-spiritual needs are, like if you're looking for a relationship where, you know, you want to cohabitate with somebody, spend some time finding out how they live, like what their living arrangement's like, and if you guys are compatible like that. Because when you are kind of coming from this open heart, spiritual perspective, everybody looks really good. If they are kind of living from a spiritual and open heartedness perspective. The second thing that I see people do is they start to figure out what is compatible for them. They start to figure out, those things that are really important to them in their relationship self-expression and how they live at home. And then they sell out.
Right.
On themselves in the dating situation because they meet somebody who's really nice. And, you know, really nice isn't necessarily sustainable. 100 years ago when we lived until, you know, we were like 38 years old, and, you know, people died of dysentery and things like that, really nice was a good thing. You know, basically you wanted a relationship where they were a decent human being. And you could count on them when harvest time came. But today the social landscape and the cultural landscape have changed so much. And in the spiritual sacred sexuality crowd, there's a difference as well. Like we're living outside of the box.
that when you start to figure out what really works for you, you need to honor that and not start a relationship with somebody because they're the only person in town who knows what the word Tantra is. And, you know, just because somebody is also into sacred sexuality doesn't automatically mean that they're a good fit for you. And to do your due diligence and keep it slowed down so that you guys can really figure out if you guys are going to be a good fit. And, you know, depending on how you want to run your relationship life, there's lots of room to fit people into your community that aren't necessarily the best fit for you as a romantic partner. You know, there's, especially in Tantra, there's plenty of ways you can explore your spiritual side around sexuality without ever having to take your clothes off. And you can, there are plenty of ways to deepen your connection and to explore intimacy with people without having it to be sexual. Which brings me to my third don't, which isn't so much as a don't as a just watch out, be careful. Mm. And it really is, you know, pardon my frankness, but when you start sleeping together, like, can I swear on your show?
You can say anything you want.
Okay.
This is internet. You can say anything.
I have to ask, you know, who knows?
Great. I'm glad you asked. Go ahead.
The minute you guys start fucking, everything changes.
Right.
No matter who you are, there is a whole very complex system of biochemistry that, you know, the switch gets turned on the minute you stick your dick in somebody, or the minute you let somebody stick their dick in you, or let their hands, you know, stick their hands in you, or whatever.
Right, inside, so, right, penetration, some kind.
Yeah, like, know that the minute anything close to orgasms is exchanged, especially multiple times, that there is a lot of hard wiring that is programmed to keep you guys connected, and not that biology rules everything, but to think that you are so spiritual that you can completely disconnect and work around your biological programming, I think is silly. And if for whatever reason you happen to be that spiritual that you really can pull that off, it brings me to my final point, which is date your own species. If you're that enlightened that you have that kind of coordination and can walk through the world without your biology tugging at you, without your human emotions and monkey mind tugging at you, then please only date fellow enlightened beings, because your unattachment to the human world will drive somebody who's still attached completely bonkers, and I don't think that's fair.
Well, that, you know, that point that you just made is so key, because in my time in Tantra, I just have to say, I mean, in my years, 1996 is when I started to formally study Tantra. And I have to say that there were a lot of people, I just will say this, and I don't, you know, it's my show, I can say whatever I want. There was a lot of people who were, in quotes, finding people who were not so spiritually enlightened, so to speak, and saying, well, I'm going to teach them. And so it became like a power dynamic of a teacher-student always. And it kind of set things off. That's kind of some of the first glimpses that I got of the Tantra world were such a turnoff, because there were people parading around and saying, you know, well, I'm going to teach this person. And it wasn't, I mean, a therapist wouldn't do that. I mean, if a therapist did do that, they'd get busted. You know, you're not, to me, you're not necessarily supposed to, like, be screwing your clients. So it became very strange. I felt there were no boundaries whatsoever in the world of Tantra, and it made me really focus on boundaries when I started teaching. You know, mm-hmm. like over the top, beyond. So I love what you said there. date your own species. Find somebody who's also enlightened like yourself. And if there isn't anybody, be really clear about it, that, you know, you're their teacher, you're training them, and, you know, for the period of time where they're your trainee, they're not your sexy or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I might be completely prude about this, but that's okay. I can go in history saying that.
Well, it's your show.
It was very scary. I mean, navigating my way in my new tantra world at that time was scary. I saw things that you know, made me really contract. And you know, I'm not terribly contracted right now, but I mean, I did get like, wait a minute, what's going on here? What is this? It really did question the scruples.
And I think too, Lori, like if we look back historically, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the sexual revolution kind of, you know, burst forth in the 60s. The 70s was everybody trying to figure out how to make this actually work a little bit better.
Right.
You know, and if anything, things kind of got a little bit more conservative, although I think people associate the 70s with swinging and key parties and of course disco. But then, you know, the 80s came along and then AIDS changed everything. and in some ways, you know, the transcendentalist meditation movement along with the sexual revolution and then AIDS, you know, like Tantra became, I think, an interesting place for people to continue their spiritual work and get their rocks off in a way that where there was some safety, but it had never happened before. So there, you know, part of what I think happened in the late, you know, the mid 80s and into the 90s or the late 80s and into the 90s was people figuring out how to make this work and what boundaries and agreements do we need to put, you know, what better practice protocols do we need? What best practice protocols do we need to put into place to make even teaching this work sustainable? Because American culture was so much different than Indian culture or, you know, the Taoist practices that were coming in from China and other parts of Asia. You know, their cultures were so much different. And in America, we were laying the spiritual sexuality on top of, no pun intended, the sexual revolution. And I think that it was sloppy. It couldn't help but be sloppy back then. And what I hope is happening now is that we're recalibrating those of us in the community and getting better at this as we move forward and a role modeling for the people who are just getting into being seekers and explorers in this realm as well.
It's beautiful what you say. It's so, Reed, it is beautiful what you say. I can really see it. I could see it as being sloppy, and I can see it as getting better. I could see it as getting better through lots of, you know, lots of places and experiences that I've been at in the last few years. You know, I did some work at One Taste. That's where you and I met at One Taste. And I know people there are working on the communication and the boundaries, et cetera, and going into sensation cleanly. There's a lot of the word clean comes up in people's vocabularies now. I want to be clean with you and clear. So I think you're right. I mean, I it's exciting, the whole perspective, because I have to tell you that, you know, after I really delved into Tantra, I personally really delved into Tantra, I became more discriminating about who I wanted to have sex with, and I also found myself having less and less availability for a partner, because I wouldn't be with my students. You know, I just, that was a no-no for me. And then it was like, well, who's at my level? Who knows anything about what I'm doing, what I'm teaching? You know, I would go to, let's say I would go to a bar and somebody said to me, what do you do? I'd say, I teach yoga. Because if I said I taught Tantra, there'd be a whole another group of, you know, assumptions and different things being made then. So at first I couldn't even say it. You know, so it's interesting stuff, really interesting how it's grown and how, because of work like what you're doing, people are pushing out the envelope and really, really, committing to communicating and to growing and to being clean in their community, you know, and straight with the people that they love and relate to.
Mm-hmm. And I think when you start really applying this stuff to not just to your spiritual practice inside of workshops, but like you were just saying, when you start taking these principles, these best practices, and applying those protocols to your at-home life, when you're taking as much care and focus in communicating and setting up agreements and boundaries and being clean with the people that you live with at home and love with at home as you do with your students and your clients and your fellow practitioners, I think there's the possibility for your entire life to jump up to the next level. And then, you know, answering questions, you know, the tough questions in relationships, like, you know, when are you holding space for someone else's growth? But that space that you're holding is actually holding you back. Like when you start taking that kind of impeccability and bringing it into your home life, those hard questions, the answers come to you a lot quicker. It doesn't mean that the answers are easier. I mean, hard choices are always tough choices, but the clarity starts to pour into the rest of your world. And that kind of clarity is what increases your dating success. It is what deepens your spiritual practice. You know, even when the odds seem stacked against you, even when you're the only person in a small town in the middle of Pennsylvania who's, you know, got the only copy of the Tantra DVD, you know, if you're the only person there, the odds may seem so stacked against you, but when you have that kind of impeccability, I think miracles can happen.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, Reed, this has been fantastic. We're at the end of our show here, and I want to tell you, I think this has been most enlightening. I think it's definitely useful and fruitful. Everything that you've talked about, I love your rules about taking it slow. I love the rule about, you know, finding somebody who's of your same species. I love the idea of communicating your tastes and life and doing it up front and right away. I mean, it's really what makes life worth living, as far as I can see, as far as I can tell. I'm thrilled about it, and I love the way you're pushing the envelope for your own satisfaction and what you're giving to people, in the way of like really getting who they are. So I really honor and thank you. Let's tell people, can you tell people what's coming up for you? If you can real quickly tell them what's coming up for
you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Get in touch with you.
Well, they can find out all the up-to-date stuff by finding me at Reed, R-E-I-D, readaboutsex.com. I also try to post as much as I can about events on Facebook, so you can find me on Facebook as well. And, I mean, the big stuff coming up soon is I'm always going to be teaching a weekend workshop called Foundations of Facilitation, which is one of our ways of training people to run cuddle parties. It's an excellent training for workshop leaders. And more importantly, I'm going to be on the East Coast in September and October running two conferences. One is going to be for Tantra teachers and educators, and that is the Dr. Dakini Conference. It'll be happening up in the Catskill Mountains the first weekend of October. And the weekend before that, we're going to take a lot of those Tantra teachers and put them in a room for a weekend with the public, and it's going to be kind of a smorgasbord, what we're calling the Sacred Sexuality Roundup, the last weekend of September, where the public will be able to come and spend time and get to meet a lot of different Tantra teachers and ask questions and have some fun.
Well,
and all that stuff's on my website.
And I will be there, as you know, so I'm excited. Guess what? We're going to be dancing in the same room.
Yay! It's this one.
On the same coast, in the same room.
Yay.
That's great.
Awesome.
Well, listen, I really thank you for taking the time in your busy life to be on my show. I'd love to do it again. I think there's about 25 more things I want to ask you about all that you've talked about. So I'll get back in touch with you and see when your next time availability is, because I'd love to have you on again.
That sounds awesome. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
Yeah, great. And I'll see you really soon. I'll see you on the East Coast really, really
soon.
Thank you, everyone. I'm saying namaste from Tantra Cafe. See you soon.